New York Times bestselling author Amy Bloom has never been easy to pigeonhole. The celebrated novelist, short story writer, and memoirist is now trying her hand at mystery with Blunt Instrument. Introducing private investigator Del Chandler, who finds murder, mayhem, and plenty of academic intrigue after a professor is bludgeoned with a bronze bust of Nathaniel Hawthorne. Amy Bloom joins us next on The Book Show. Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Amy Bloom has spent decades writing fiction that is compassionate, incisive, and delightfully surprising. A National Book Award finalist whose work has appeared in The New Yorker and whose memoir, In Love, became a New York Times bestseller. Bloom now ventures into new territory with her first mystery novel, Blunt Instrument. At the center is Del Chandler, a failed professor and newly minted private investigator called to solve the murder of an eminent English scholar whose death by a bronze Hawthorne bust leaves an entire university full of suspects. Set in the competitive world of academia, the novel mixes sharp dialogue, literary references, and a very satisfying whodunit while exploring ambition, loyalty, and reinvention. Amy Bloom joins us on this week's book show to talk about launching a new series and discovering fresh pleasures in the mystery genre. It is a great pleasure to welcome Amy Bloom back to the book show. Amy, thank you very much for being with us.
I'm so glad. I have to say, I like all my books, but this is a very fun book to talk about.
All right. Well, I look forward to talking to you about it. I thought it was great fun. What led you in this direction of wanting to write a mystery?
I like mysteries. I mean, I grew up reading them sort of golden age, whether it was Agatha Christie or Dorothy Sayers. As I got older, I had other ones that I really, really liked. I thought, I wonder if I can master this form, because it's a form, you know, just like in poetry, you have villanelles, you have haikus, it's a form. There are things that the reader requires and expects, and that's different from my other kinds of novels. And I thought, I wonder what I can do within this shape.
When did it start to take shape in your mind of what you could do with it, where you have a failed English professor that becomes a sort of private detective, and then they're off to the races?
Well, I know lots about English professors, having taught at universities for about 25 years, also having been an undergraduate, also having been a very, very junior faculty wife, so, and also having been a bartender there. So I felt like from every point of view, I knew what the ups and downs and pitfalls and pleasures of academia were. And the first time I thought about this book, I have to say I was wrong, because the first time I thought about this book, I was just learning how to write. It must have been more than 30 years ago. And I had some ideas, and I wrote them down, and I sent them to my only reader, who was my high school English teacher. And he said, oh, honey, you know, love the characters, love the dialogue. I don't know much about mysteries. Shouldn't there be more than one suspect? And I thought, aha, you clever man. And so I put it away for a long, long time.
It seems in this novel, there is no shortage of suspects in the sense that it is quite character heavy. There are many people who make their way throughout the novel.
It's true. I think for me, character tends to drive the plot. I mean, the reason that these particular things happen is because somebody in particular is doing them, or somebody's. And I'm very interested, you know, my work isn't that different in that sense from my other novels, which is I'm interested in people. I'm interested in the gap between what they say and what they do and what they mean and what they tell you. And that stuff is always interesting to me. And there's a lot of scope for that in a mystery because people are always lying.
So tell us about Del Chandler and how this character came about.
I think Del Chandler, I suspect that for most mystery writers, that detective, whether it's a police officer or it's a PI or it's the lady up the street with the bicycle who falls into the mystery, is some expression of the writer. You can't spend all that time with this creation without it having some of your own qualities, and at least for me, certainly ways in which she improves on me. For example, she runs, and I don't run unless somebody's chasing me. But I liked the things that made her an English professor, things that I'm sympathetic to, a love of literature, an interest in language, a wish not to have a 9-to-5 kind of job. She has some qualities of mine, some qualities I wish I have, some qualities I hope I don't have. And I wanted her to be somebody that it was fun and interesting to spend time with. You wanted to hang out with her. You wanted to see what happened next.
Even though it is a character that has issues and troubles, was had a job, lost the job, and is sort of struggling in many aspects of life and struggling with many of the relationships and close relationships in her life.
Yeah, she's not hitting it out of the park as a human being at the moment. On the other hand, she is trying, and I give a lot of credit to people for trying, even if they stumble. There's this great quote from Samuel Beckett. He says, in life as an art, all you can do is try, fail, try again, and fail better. And I think that's sort of her motto as well. You try and you learn. And that might be one of my favorite qualities in her, which is that you see that she begins to see a little more clearly as she goes along. I mean, she starts out as a very competent amateur, and I think she gets better at it.
A self-taught private detective who shares with many private detectives the ire of those in law enforcement and so forth who are trying, Dell is trying to work around, they're trying to work around her. Obviously an awkward position, although there are pluses and minuses to both roles.
Would say so. My brother-in-law is retired lieutenant from the LAPD, so I did have him read it through for me, tell me things that this would never happen, and oh yeah, this would happen, but we'd be mad. It was very helpful.
When it comes to the idea of not making Dell a more professional private eye or somebody who had gone through great time and training, that's a choice you make to have that character be somewhat on the fringe.
It absolutely is. And that's partially a choice I made because it reflects me. I mean, certainly I could have done a ton of research. I did a fair amount of research, to have her be sort of, if she was on screen, kind of an Angelina Jolie super detective with amazing skills and gorgeous biceps and all those things. But I really wanted her to be a person, who watches a lot of Law and Order, who had always worked for her Uncle Luis, who was a private eye. It's not that she had no experience with this at all, but he had the kind of PI office where you look into custody snatches and you look into missing people and you look into a little corporate fraud. So it's not that she had no abilities, but this case that she is called in for is a murder, and that is definitely her punching above her weight.
Amy Bloom is our guest on this week's book show. The name of the new mystery is Blunt Instrument. So the murder is that of Professor Bulfinch, who is killed, a lecturer at Cromwell University, and with a bronze bust of Nathaniel Hawthorne bopped in the head with that. That's the murder weapon. And this character dies. This professor, not very well liked.
Agree. Deservedly not liked. I'm not saying he deserved to be bludgeoned to death, but it's certainly understandable that he wasn't anybody's favorite.
And that, of course, is a great thing for a mystery, I'm assuming, in that that brings your list of people perhaps would want to off this guy.
Yes, and you want the reader themselves to feel like, ah, aha, I get it. I see why other people want to murder this guy. And then you have to begin to sift through the difference between dislike, and murder. There are lots of people. If you're a grown person, there are plenty of people you run into that you're not crazy about, but you don't bludgeon them all because, you know, time, money, space. You might contemplate it.
You spoke about this at the beginning of our conversation, but I'm curious as to being in academia and looking at what that world is like that brings characters like this and other characters within this novel. It's a lot to put up with, isn't it? I mean, it is a very, for want of a better term, a very dramatic lot.
Well, it can be. You know, you also meet a lot of smart, hardworking people who care a great deal about the subject material and are devoted to their students. They don't make the best murderers, and they don't even make the best murder victims. But academia is a big world. It encompasses all kinds of human beings. And so I was on the lookout for the ones that were fun to meet, fun to follow, fun to suspect, and with whom it was interesting and compelling to unravel the deaths that surround them.
Tell us a little bit about Cromwell University and the setting of this, because that obviously plays a role of what type of university we're talking about.
It certainly does. So I live in Connecticut, and the two schools that I taught at were Yale and Wesleyan, both excellent liberal arts institutions. I took things from both schools, and that's why it's called Cromwell University. Cromwell's a small town in Connecticut in the middle of the state. And I wanted just to sort of be open to all the different kinds of characters you meet, you know, from the staff to the administrators to the faculty to senior faculty to junior faculty, you know, to the adjunct professors who are hustling incredibly hard just to make a living, all the way up to the very senior tenured professors who are extremely well paid, teach a little bit, you know, get to sit in their fairly nice offices and read their material, dispense their pearls of wisdom. I wanted to sort of be in every corner of the university, and I wanted Dell to poke her nose into a lot of things, sometimes tactfully, sometimes not tactfully, and get sort of a profile and a feeling, in some ways, very particular to the Northeast, this set.
You mentioned at the beginning about obviously being a mystery fan and having read mysteries and loved mysteries most of your life. The balance that you have here of revelation and suspense is fascinating. Can you talk a little bit about that and creating and maintaining that balance?
I mean, that's really what is required. Once you have your characters, you have to sort of think about what are the steps in the story and where are you taking people. And for me, I want things that are revealed to come at the right time. I started out as a psychotherapist, and I had an elderly psychoanalyst who was my supervisor, and he said to me about therapy, and it turns out to be the same thing in writing a mystery. He said to me, the important question is why this, why now? And it was useful in my practice. And it turns out to be really useful in writing a mystery, which is, what do you want to reveal in the first half of the story? What's going to come later? And how do you reveal things that it doesn't feel like you're just dropping, you know, a brick in the middle of the sentence? It feels like it's opening up organically and the reader is beginning to see something and you go, yeah, also, if you just turn this page, here's a little more information and you can take that and see further. Because one of the things that I'm aware of is that mystery readers really follow and pay attention to the clues and the breadcrumbs and plot turns, and they are a really, it seems to me, finely tuned and attentive group of readers. So I wanted to sort of offer them the best I could in terms of the reveals and the turns.
But obviously you must employ all of those in a non-mystery novel too, right? A novel is a novel.
A novel's a novel, and there's no such thing as a novel without a mystery in it, as far as I'm concerned. There's always going to be something that needs to be understood further or that turns out to be a surprise. I mean, I think if you are writing a book about human beings, there will be some mystery.
And for you, that mystery is fascinating.
It is. I mean, these are the only things I'm interested in. I'm interested in people and I'm interested in story. That's about it. I mean, I have a minor interest in gardening, but mostly it's people and story.
While you were writing this, did it present a novel being a novel, did it present particular challenges for you as an author?
I think the challenge for me in writing the mystery was being more attentive to the unspooling of the plot. You know, some of my literary novels are kind of plot heavy, some of them very plot light, I would say. Doesn't make them bad, but they're very much explorations of character and relationships, and some things happen, but nothing very dramatic. But with the mystery, there needs to be a body or two, and therefore there needs to be a victim, and therefore there needs to be the murderer. You know, you can't just have all the deaths be accidental. That's not a mystery. So paying attention to how I laid that out and sort of my job in creating that path and all those incidents, I had to pay more attention to than I would in a literary novel for me.
Amy Bloom is our guest on this week's book show. The new mystery is Blunt Instrument, Adele Chandler Mystery. Of course, within the genre, and just by me saying Adele Chandler mystery indicates that perhaps there would be another one. Did you think about that at all in while starting this process?
I didn't think about it when I was writing it, but I can't tell you how much it pleases me to have you describe it as Adele Chandler mystery. I'm like, oh, that sounds good. And yeah, I am in fact committed to write a couple of more. And so I'm at work on the next one, which is called Honest Mistake.
And you knew that as you were starting to write this one, I assume.
I didn't really. I was really hoping that I would write this first one and that it would go well. And now that it's gone well, I'm looking forward to taking another crack at it with her, you know, in a different setting, but with some returning characters and her having learned a little bit more.
I asked the question because it seems that if you're writing it and know you're going to be writing about this character again, they're more of an investment, right? You're laying the seeds not only for this novel, but for future ones as well.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think this becomes a long-term relationship for the writer and the character. I'm invested. I'm committed. What did they used to say about when you have a bacon and eggs breakfast? The eggs are invested, but the pig is committed. You know, like I am really committed to Del Chandler.
I was fascinated in the relationship between Dell and her father. Talk a little bit about those relationships and of those men in her life and the importance and also the complexity of those relationships.
Well, I would be glad to. I mean, again, because for me, she is a whole human being. And so she comes from somewhere and she has relationships. And those things, like they do for the rest of us, you know, drive her in ways that she's aware of and ways that she's not aware of. And so I guess the truth is, my kids always say I have four subjects, right? Sex, love, family, and death. Which I think is plenty of subjects, but I think that that's the
The
same.
good ones.
Thank you. I think it's the same in this mystery as in anything else. Those are my subjects. The mystery is kind of a different path through those same subjects because that's what's always interesting to me. And so for me, Dell having to grapple with her aging father and having lost her mother, and I see this all the time. I see it in my friends, I see it in people I know. The parent that you're closest to passes away, and you have to make some kind of relationship with the one who is still on this planet. Sometimes that can be a wonderful turn of events, and sometimes it's just difficult and filled with loss. So I wanted to have her have the relationships that people have, which is some good and some bad, and some you keep trying and some you're tempted to walk away from. And I wanted that to be part of her story and who she is.
You speak about tempted to walk away from, but was struck by just the couple times where Dell knows what she should do when it comes to her father and where she should go and what she should be doing. But if she has the opportunity to put it off a week or two, well, sure, that sounds fine.
Yeah, and if not fine, maybe permissible. And I think
Right.
all of us are like that. You know, we have weeks when we do our best, and we have weeks when we do a little bit less than our best. I really did. I wanted her to be a whole, interesting, funny human being. I didn't want her just to be a chess piece that moved through an interesting plot.
There is a complexity to this that I find often missing in mystery novels. A complexity, and I think it goes back to something we were talking about before, is the number of characters and the people who come into Dell's life and who are involved in one shape or form, which obviously leads you to the college and the people who are in the orbit of the professor who was killed. You, I assume, were looking for that complexity.
I mean, I suppose I was. I think it's also the way that I write. It's what interests me about people. I don't think, by and large, people are simple. In my life experience, when somebody says to you, "Oh, I'm just a simple country lawyer," that is not the case. And so I'm always interested in sort of what is underneath. The fact that you don't like somebody doesn't make them simple or stupid, it just means you don't like them. And you might want to explore what it is about them. Or me, I'm always curious. And I think it is generally true that I'm always curious. I like to unfold, I like to open it up, I like to see what's not said. And that's always interesting to me. There's this great line from Henry James in Wings of the Dove, and the character is like racing in the gondola, runs across the piazza, runs up the steps to the palazzo, and then Henry James writes, "There are some conversations we are not meant to hear." And I just loved that idea, and I wanted there to be some of that. It's one of the reasons I made the narrator in the first person, because there are some things that she does not get to witness. We have to come to understand them within those limitations, just as she does, because she wasn't at the scene. She has to imagine and suspect and reason and work all the way around the circumstances, but you don't get to see everything.
But with that said, has great observational skills that allows her, maybe sometimes rightly or wrongly, but allows her to observe and conclude and even think about the possibilities that really drive an idea home for her as to what the possibilities could be, but not definitive in her mind often.
Right. There are things that we cannot know. I mean, we can guess and we can observe and we can think it through and we can make a reasonable conclusion. That's as far as we get to go sometimes. And for me, a character grappling with that, especially a PI, was an interesting and fun way to proceed. She is not all powerful. She is not omniscient. She's a smart person doing a hard job, sometimes doing it well and sometimes doing her best.
Was there a discussion you had with yourself or anyone else of how law enforcement would be represented and how the relationship between Dell and law enforcement would unfold?
I did. I mean, I had that conversation with my brother-in-law, who, as I
Yeah.
said, hired LAPD. So that was very helpful. I also have some friends who are police officers, and that was very useful. They were great readers, and they were also people who were like, "Yeah, this could happen." I completely understand the way in which, for a police officer, a PI is often a bother and a fly in the ointment, and at best, an irritation. But also, I think there are lots of very good, very smart cops who would also know how to manage her and make use of the information and move forward. We don't see a lot of those cops, but we do see two very strong and competent police detectives in the novel, and I think they do a good job of representing their end.
You mentioned this at the very beginning of our conversation about you love talking about this novel. That would indicate to me, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that would indicate to me that you have a great joy and you had fun taking on this project.
I did. It's never really, I should say, never really fun for me to write. I'm one of those who likes having written. Not such a big fan of the actual writing, which I'm sort of slow at, and it's a little painful. There was something about this form which was sort of fun to find my way through this particular maze, sort of learn how this kind of story is made, and do my best to bring my skills to this different form, this different construction. And that was really quite fun. And one of the pleasures, I guess, in talking about it is because I do like Dale quite a bit, and I am sort of drawn to, with affection and sometimes with less warm feelings, all the other characters. I think you can't really write a good character, meaning a fully rounded character, who's not just a chess piece who moves through the plot, without some affection for them, even if they're bad guys. I don't really write villains.
But the fact that having affection for this character, and it's because it very human, very, very relatable, and we all know someone like this.
I think so. I mean, I certainly run into people like Dell, smart people who have a little trouble getting out of their own way. I think that that's more common than not. Smart is useful, but it's not everything.
As you look at this particular work, and was there anything different in the sense of, as you said, you like to have written, but does it come quicker? I mean, the book has such a pace to it, a rapid pace. Does that change the actual writing in any way?
I wish it did. The goal is to make it look effortless and
Absolutely.
to have it have a sharp, quick, fun pace. But alas, that does not reflect my writing style. Not the style that's on the page, but the way in which I write is not quick. And there's a lot of going back and fixing the sentence. And then when you fix the sentence, you got to fix the next sentence. And then you got to fix the paragraph. And then you got to fix the page. And now it's a day's work. So I am not lots of people in this world who are faster writers than me. But when it begins to unfold in my head, I can kind of see it. And that's always a joy, where I can begin to sort of see it unfold. And then the writing picks up, because then I got to keep up with what I'm envisioning.
Amy Bloom is our guest. The new book is Blunt Instrument. It is published by the Mysterious Press. Amy, thank you so much for sharing with us. What a delight to talk to you, a delight to read the new novel, and I so appreciate your time as always.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'll talk to you next time.
Amy Bloom is the author of the new novel Blunt Instrument, published by Mysterious Press. Thanks to our producer, Madeline Reynolds. Write to us at book@wamc.org. The latest on national productions programs is available via the Airwaves newsletter at wamc.org and on social media at WAMC Radio. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.